Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink podcast. Today is August 16th, 2021.
It's Monday.
Monday, start of the week, best day of the week, you know, everybody's favorite.
Everybody loves it.
And get cracking back to work. Don't have to worry about nobody returning their phone calls on the weekend because it's Monday.
Yeah, you better return those phone calls.
Now they're just not going to return your phone calls and it's the week.
Yeah. So good luck.
Great. But today, you know, another interesting topic that we, you know, we always try and bring
clarity and guidance,
value in this, right? Today, I'm reading from an article. This is out of West Palm Beach, and it's basically saying from two different universities that there's five major Florida cities where houses are being sold for more than they're worth. And those cities are Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, Miami, and Tallahassee.
Okay.
Now, out of the five, it says Tampa ranks the highest with a 32% premium.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, based on the, you know, they use an average, right? And their average is based from 1996 to this, you know, this point in time, right? And currently, so, you know, I keep seeing these things where people are saying, oh, well, you know, it's not, the house prices aren't as bad as they were in 2006, right? It wasn't as bad because they're basing it off of the average, right? Because what they're saying is, you know, in Florida, the average home price in 2006 was like $165,000, it looks like, right? And the home sales, they were at a 60% premium at that point in time, right? Because based on the average level of a home price at that time, something selling for $280 as opposed to $160 is a huge increase, right? And now, you know, I keep seeing all these articles saying like, oh, well, you know, it's not, the increase isn't that crazy anymore. Right. It's not a 60% premium. It's only a 20 or 30% premium. It's not that bad. But the problem I see is that these properties are selling for almost $25,000 more than the peak of the market in 2006, which is
Ruh-roh.
Not great. Because even if, you know, I know everybody loves using percents to make things seem more or less scary based on, you know, what side of the fence you sit on. But the real issue is it's, you know, an average goes up with home prices because an increase, inflation, a bunch of other reasons, right? So the line is always going to be ascending because that's just how it works, right? I mean, if you look at it, people make more money than they did back in 96. You know, across the board, right? The average salary, I should say. And so with that average salary increase, everything else, quality of life, cost of life, all that stuff goes up with it, right? But what the issue that I see is if you look at it from a percentage standpoint and you say, okay, well, it's only a 30, only a 25%, not a 60% premium, right? Mm-hmm. That's great and all, but the issue is that the prices aren't currently, they aren't trending downwards.
No, not yet.
So even though, you know, we're saying, all right, it's still $25,000 or so more than what it was at the top of the market in 2006, which was every, you know, I don't know how to tell somebody, but everybody is like, oh, that was astronomical. That was unheard of pricing, right? Crazy. Houses cost way too much back in 2006.
Yep.
But now they cost even more. And people are like, yeah, but they cost more for a different reason. So it's okay. And it's like, no, I mean, it's not okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's really not. It doesn't mean that it's good that the prices have gone up. Oh, well, it's a buy. It's just because there's so many buyers in the market right now, and the prices are just, that's why. That's why.
I, I love also the excuse that everybody uses of, oh, it's the generation with the tech money. They have more money than us, or they had more money than us while we were, you know, in the early 80s, mid 90s to early 2000s. So, I mean, no wonder houses are so much higher, because they're bringing in all of this new money and they're making tons more than what we made. And sure, that might be a explanation for part.
Maybe in California and Texas. Country,
or yeah, maybe a
in two maybe states couple, or Washington couple and Oregon.
Cities? Yeah. But hey, that's not a blanket, you know.
And I mean, you can look at it across the board and see that wages for people between the ages of like 20 and what is it, like 38, are historically low, right?
I mean, you get out of college, you know, at the age of 22 to 24, and you know, you have student debt. I mean, most people do, and unless you work your way through college, then kudos to you. And you're probably going to start at a job that's $15 an hour, $20 an hour, I mean, maybe even in your respective fields.
Yeah.
And how much is that really? I mean, $15 an hour right now, you're working 40 hours a week. You're taking 600 before taxes home a week. It's still pretty tough.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not, I mean, because you have to look at it from a perspective of a loan standpoint in that situation, right? You have to sit there and say, okay, so you're making 15 bucks a week. That's great. You know, you're making $600, or so you're making 15 bucks an hour, making $600 pre-tax a week. And so you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe we could say you're making 2,000 bucks a month, right?
Yeah.
After taxes, which is, you know, a pretty good amount. But at the same time, that's not an amount you can really, if you have, you know, if you have a car to get to work, if you have student loans, if you have a credit card,
if you're not living at your parents'
if
house,
you're not, you know, if you have all these other, you know, if you have, you know, hopefully, you know, if you have rent to pay as well.
Renting a room from somebody, you know. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things that compile into it and don't make it an easy process to buy a house for somebody in their 20s and early 30s, right?
No, especially if they're making, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but not everybody graduating college is walking into a six-figure job.
Most aren't.
So unless you already have something completely geared up and you're greased in and you're walking into a position, most employers are not willing to give that kind of salary to somebody that's a greenie, somebody that's who's brand new
walking out of college with no experience in their job field.
And I know multiple people who started at a company that they immediately worked at after college. And then, you know, 2 years later, they go to a different company, they make more money. 2 years after that, they go to another company and make more money. It's just like a step stool. It's a ladder. And, you know, you really don't start making that, you know, some substantial money until probably in your early 30s, to be completely honest.
And I mean, that's when people start settling down, buying homes, all that sort of deal, right?
Correct.
But then, you know, that's where this issue is stemming from, right? Is because the simple solution is not, oh, well, people have more money to spend nowadays. You know, when I was 20 years old, I worked at the gas station and minimum wage is $2.80 an hour, right? 15 bucks is insane. But to have that same understanding, $15 an hour back in, you know, 1982 is insane money, right? That's good money you're making back in 1982.
Oh, yeah. You're living it up.
To have that same mindset as a, you know, which I feel a lot of people do. I feel like a lot of people who are older and real estate investors and in the real estate world in general, and a lot of people still have that mentality that, you know, oh, well, I think $15 is a lot. And it's like, well, in 1980 it was, yeah, you know, in the 1990s it was.
I mean, if you could go buy a loaf of bread for, you know,
I mean, half
25,
yeah,
50 to a, you know, to even a dollar, or a gallon of milk for 50 cents to 89 cents or dollar even 59, who know. I mean, I paid for milk today, it was like, no joke, $7 for like the organic jug of milk. And it's like, okay, so think about it. If I'm making $15 an hour and I'm spending $7 on a gallon of milk, and they made $2 an hour and they paid 50 cents or a dollar, I mean, it's the same thing. You're basically looking at the same thing. But they see that 15 number and they go, wow.
That's a lot of money they're making, you know, comparatively. Yeah, but as inflation and averages go up and as time goes on, year over year, it compounds.
Take a look at cars. Take a look at transportation. Take a look at gas prices. Take a look at, you know, everything between technology. I mean, you didn't have this technology budget in 1982. You know, the most technologically advanced thing in your house was either, like, the refrigerator or the television. You know, like, you didn't have, oh, you know, I didn't have to pay for all these different services. I have to pay for all these different streaming. I have to pay for the internet. I have to pay for it. No, you had a phone and you had cable, right?
And even then, I mean, you just, sometimes people just jerry-rig a satellite or, yeah, you know, you would have bunny ears on their TV.
And you have an antenna and you get your, you know, six channels and you'd be good to go. And now it's like the budget that you have to put towards your own state of mind is astronomical. I mean,
even to operate in today's world, imagine saying to yourself, well, I don't, you know, think to yourself, if you didn't have a computer, you didn't have capabilities to print anything, you didn't have, you know,
how any simple internet, your life would be.
Well, how simple your life would be, but I just mean you wouldn't be able to operate in today's world, right?
I always thought it was an interesting argument that, you know, most people, when they kiss their loved ones goodbye in the morning, they would just hope that they would show up later that evening.
Yeah, there was no like, oh, I'll give you, you know, I'll text you or I'll call you when I get to work or whatever.
And it was always like, hey, yeah, I filed a missing persons report because my husband didn't show up.
Yeah, he just didn't. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, awesome.
All right, well, I mean, yeah, you kind of, I hope he went to work. I just don't know if he made it there. Like, it was so different back then. I mean, now starting at the age of like 8, you're going to be paying for a cell phone for the rest of your life. If you really think about it.
No, I mean, that's somebody is, whether it's your parents or yourself, yeah.
But somebody is going to be paying for something for the rest of your life starting at the age of 8. In 1982, at the age of 8, do you think anybody was paying for anything for you other than maybe some clothes?
No, and food. I mean, normal expenses of living, no. Now it's like, you know, you say to yourself, oh, well, that's a luxury item. You don't need those things. And it's like, well, in this day and age, you do. I mean, you have to have a computer.
Anybody,
you know,
who has a child over the age of like 8 knows that, you know, it's obviously a safety hazard.
Well, I mean, it's just computer literacy. Imagine bringing a kid into school and then you're, you know, even in fifth grade for me at the time, which was early 2000s, in the fifth grade, we were using computers to type essays. And it's like, so imagine today's world and you're like, no, you know, I'm going to go back to the traditional way of life. And I'm going to, no, you can't use a computer, no phone, no TV, no none of that stuff. And then they go to school and it's like, oh, well, we need you to use a computer to type up your essay. And then you go, I don't know how to use a computer.
Yeah. Well, and can it's I like, just write it?
Oh, no. Can I? No, you have to type it up.
I can't read your writing.
No, yeah. And also, once they get into middle school and high school, they don't even have an option. It's not like, oh, well, we'll teach you how to do it. It's you have to get this assignment in by 12 o'clock or it's late.
You have to email it to us now.
Yeah, and you have to also run it through a plagiarism program to make sure we know you didn't cheat. So it's not even comparable
today.
Good
luck with that.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't have those when in my time, they had no plagiarism packs or whatever the heck they call them. We just would go to the library together and sit down and all do the same exact work.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was an easier day back then. I mean, even college in 15 years since I've been out has changed quite a bit. But hey, you know, off topic a little bit. We're just trying to get to the point.
You know, yeah, we're
inflation
just...
is a known entity in our government. We understand how it works.
And time changes and things get added on. If it's the 1980s and your expenses are, you know, $600 a month for a house and you've got a car that costs, you know, $150 a month with insurance, and then you've got power, water, you know, and your bills compile to like $1,200 a month and you're making $2,000, you're doing pretty good, right? Because your dollar at that point in time, the 800 you have left over, is powerful, right? Nowadays, you have so many expenses that you have to pay for just to be a, you know, functioning, you know, because if you're working in any position that's going to be making you a sizable amount of money, you're going to be having to pay for these things. You know, there's no job or that somebody can get where it's like, oh, we don't need you to have a computer. We don't need you to have power. We don't need you to have internet.
A cell phone.
We don't need you to have cell phone. You just show up, you walk in, and you're going to make $90,000 starting. Yeah. And you don't need to know how to use one of those things. So you haven't had to have time, spent learning that beforehand. And it's like, so, you know, let's just scooch along here. We all understand there's tons of things that have changed. And if you haven't, I don't know how to convince you at this point, but it should be well understood.
Yes.
So what we're trying to say is, yes, if you were to base things off of a percent average and say, well, yes, we could say homes cost less than the average home price in the early 2000s, like 2000, 2001,
yep.
Right? They cost less than the average, right?
Okay.
So why would we base the average line and say, well, they cost less from 1996 until 2002? They cost less than this average. It's like the average is made up based on the national average, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense when you look at specific markets. So in this case, right, this is Florida specifically. If you were to say, okay, well, you know, basing it off the national average, to have a 60% premium in 2006 is insane, because that's even more. Because not only did you have to make up another, 5 to 10% to get to the average rate, right? Yep. You then went above. So not only that, but it's 70% above average, right? But what's so funny now is that there's so many properties that are being made that change the average, right? Because you have to realize housing pricing, when they make an average, they're just taking into account every home sold, right?
Correct.
Basing it by the value, and then they divide.
That's
exactly how you get an average, right? So, you know, if there's somebody buys a $45 million house in Malibu, and then somebody buys a $60,000 house in North Carolina, it's one house sold.
Correct.
Right? But then the average is made, right? So to say that this average is great, no. I mean, because it's not a good way of creating a good picture, because there's places like New York and San Francisco and LA and San Diego and Seattle and Portland. I mean, Las Vegas, even to a certain aspect, there's some places there. Austin, I mean, you look at Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton.
You know, $45 million properties aren't crazy to see. It's like, so you have to realize, to make an average of, you know, a house sold in Montana to a house sold in, you know, the Silicon Valley is completely different. And so taking that as a way of figuring it out doesn't make much sense to me, but hey, I'm not the guy doing the research, right? No. But what I am trying to say, right, is obviously the average is going to go up over time, increasingly so, and at a blinding rate because of places like California, where property value from the early 2000s to now has literally, you could see something that was $200,000 in the early 90s, and yep, right now it's $2 million. So that does not help the average.
No.
And so to say that that's happened in multiple markets really skews it. And so that's where the problem lies, right? So to base all these articles I'm seeing on, oh, well, the premium is only 21%. It's actually only 26%. Oh, it's 32% in some places, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's great, but we're conflating things at this point, because the average should not be this high in general. So
I mean, this is the whole issue behind this is, you know, people are willing to pay, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 million to be closer to water. And we've always had this fascination, the just humankind in general, you know, the closer to water, the safer you are. You know, even it's this underlining factor that, you know, every single nation has strived toward. Major metropolitan areas have always been near water, right? So most of the time, anywhere near the coast is more expensive. And I don't think that they should dictate because of that. You know, it's not really fair for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Ohio that has appreciated maybe, let's say, 50 to 100 grand since the purchase of the house in 1987. I don't know if that's the same, or we should even be comparing apples to apples to a 2-bedroom bungalow that's a block away in Seal Beach that was purchased for $58,000 in 1962 and now is worth $2.7 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think that's what we're, you know, trying to get across here, is that it's actually insane to think that we can average these things out, because the absolute disgusting mess that real estate is in some states, it kind of destroys the image, right? Because in a lot of the quote-unquote flyover states,
yeah,
there isn't that crazy of an increase or decrease. The influx is, you know, 20% maybe, right? Yeah. A pretty normal increase. But you can't base an average for the country on that, right?
No, I mean, in it's almost, you know, there's 50 states, and in, you know, each state basically governs themselves independently under, you know, the national and federal laws. But like every state has completely different outlooks on what we're talking about. You know, like I said, the coast states obviously have more of a increase over the last 30 to 40 years in their properties than all of the landlocked states. And it just, you know, whenever we look at these kind of articles and whenever we start sitting and chit-chatting, it's so funny because there's only about 15 states that actually neighbor water. The rest are completely inland. So all of these conversations that all of these economics have, and all of these, you know, the news articles and reports, they really only reflect a certain portion of the actual property that is located in the United States. The other portion is completely untalked about. I mean, nobody's talking about how you can buy a, you know, 3,000 square foot home in Montana on a lake.
Not anymore, but yeah, Oklahoma. Something, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Nebraska. Yeah. Some random place.
Missouri.
You know? Yeah.
You know, Montana's Idaho, Iowa. You know, so it's like, it's like nobody talks about that the inflation rate over there or the increase, you might be still paying, you know, 10, 15, 20% over what someone paid 10, 15 years ago. We always talk about the crazy stories here. Everything is always the craziest in the news because the craziest gets all the views and the eyeballs. So if we're talking that the market is so hot and people bought properties last year and they're flipping them for $500,000 more than they bought them last year, everyone's going to be looking at that article. But obviously you guys have to understand, when we sit here and talk about it, that's not sustainable.
No, it's literally the opposite. I mean, it's at some point people have to sit down and go, okay, well, the percentages they're giving me, yeah, okay, it makes it sound like it's not that crazy of a difference. Properties now are selling for higher than the peak, in which people already said was astronomically high, right? The average of today, which, you know, over these past 14 years, right, the average home price, the standard red line they're using, still is about roughly $60,000-$70,000 off of where the 2006 margin was, which is a large increase in property value, right? So we're still not there yet. Probably give or take another, I don't know, at this, for the average to reach the 2006 peak, you're probably looking at another, I don't know, five, 8-10 years, depending, right? But at this point, you know, like we've been saying, there's not, this line that they're showing here is not going down.
No.
Right? It's a steady increase straight forward. And it doesn't really show any signs of stopping, which is really what the issue is because at a certain point, things become unsustainable. Because if we reach a 60% premium, you know, if Tampa Bay right now is at a 32% premium above average, right? Yeah. To reach a 50% premium or a, you know, a 45, 50, 55, 60% premium would be astronomical. I mean, that would be out of this world. I there has to be more money in existence for that to happen, right? But that's what it looks like we're headed for. And it's like, well, how does that make any sense? You know, economically, it doesn't really make any sense that we're even capable of getting to that point, right?
Yeah.
How are we even sitting here saying, yeah, somebody can pay well above the average home price for something that is an average home? Well, because it just deserves to have 20%, 30%, you know, 28% more value. It's like, well, why? Well, because there's a lot of buyers. Well, that doesn't mean that it's worth more money, yeah. Right?
No.
It's like, oh, well, no, that is. It's like, no, it's because there's no reason. It doesn't make any sense to say, oh, well, it's worth more money because there's more people who want it. Supply and demand, obviously. It's like, yes, but at the same time, if people are being convinced to buy property right now, who otherwise wouldn't buy property right now, that doesn't help the situation, right? So, you know, we're just looking over this this article they have.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, it doesn't really make...
too much sense.
Too much sense, because also at the same time, you know, the rent indicators are doing the exact same thing, which they're going astronomically high as a past the 2006 levels, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's like, at what point do you go, oh, the check engine light's on again? And it's like, oh, well, it was on in 2006. But, you know, the engine won't explode like last time.
No, she's going to go.
It's just going to, we're just going to overheat, and then we'll pour some room temperature water in, and then we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, I don't know, you know, at a certain point you have to be like, oh, the check engine light's on again, and then go, oh, okay, I don't want the engine to blow again. Yeah. So I'm going to just pull off on the side of the road over here and get it towed to a shop. You know what I mean? But instead, we're like, yeah, no. We turn the air up. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. No. It's fine. I don't care that we're overheating. You know? Yeah. Uh-huh. Keep going. No, up the hill. Up the hill at 90. Yeah.
Don't stop.
Red line. Hey, do you know what redlining is? Just redline it up there, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So that's where we're at with that. And I don't really know too much about why. people are like, yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with not checking the, you know, hazard lights.
Right.
You know, and then there's this other tidbit about how, you know, people, it's funny, you know, in my off time, I like, data is interesting to me. Right. And what I found was that, the Google search the other day, about 2 days ago, of will the housing market crash was in the top 10 most Googled things, right?
Yep.
And I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. It was just Sunday, you know. I was like, that's odd. I mean, kind of an odd day. And then a bunch of articles were released on the same day, which I was like, that's even more odd. There's like 14 news articles about it all released on the same day.
Weird, right?
And then I was like, interesting. And then it was like, oh, why you may be in blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. And then I went to Google Analytics and I said, okay, you know, what was the increase in search, right? because you can go and type in, you know, you can go to Google and say Google search analytics, and then it'll come up and you can search certain terms to see how, you know, what the increase is, right?
Yeah.
In 47 states, there's an increase of 2,100%.
Wow.
In the tens of thousands of increases.
That's not a small
searching
number.
That's a lot of people. So
something just went off and a lot of people just went ding 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 ding. Maybe, I mean, like I said, we have been seeing a lot of properties that have been not necessarily a flip, but somebody who purchased it in you know, April or May and then are trying to sell it for 20 or 30 grand over what they purchased it for, which basically just pays for the commission and the, you know, the fees. So it's not like they're making any money off the deal, they're just trying to get out of it. So, I mean, there are indicators. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of the indicators on the show itself. But, you know, with the general population now Googling it, I think that's pretty funny.
It's such a stark rate. I mean, to be put on a, you know, the searchable list, to put on Google's top 10 search list is kind of
eerie.
It's happened twice, so...
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It's what to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
But on that note, we want to, again, appreciate everybody stopping by on a Monday, giving us a little bit of their time. And if you have any questions, of course, you can always email them to admin, A-D-M-I-N, at homeuplink.com. Our site is 100% fully up and running. We had, over the course of this last weekend, we had another 1,850 to 1,900 properties flow through with all active open house listings for the greater Orlando and all Central Florida locations. So take your time, look it over. We offer turn-by-turn directions. We offer a direct contact between agents and potential new clients or buyers. And we offer pictures and synopsis of each property. So you can check it out in our map function, or you can just check out the list and go from there. So again, we want to appreciate you checking out Home Uplink.
Yeah, and thanks for coming by and listening yet again.
On a Monday.
On a Monday.